Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
You know, well, I'm a chicken fried, and cold beer on a Friday night, a pair of jeans that fit just right, and a radio.
Are you allowed to, or are you willing to end this conflict with Iran charging tolls for passage through the strait?
Us charging tolls?
Iran.
What about us charging tolls?
Is that something you're considering?
I'd rather do that than let them have them, right? Why shouldn't we? We're the winner. We won, okay? They are militarily defeated. The only thing they have is the psychology of, oh, we're going to drop a couple of mines in the water, all right? No, we have a concept where we'll charge tolls, okay? I thought you meant us.
I was listening to this whole press conference yesterday, and at that point, I mean, I had already been assuming that we were going to work out some kind of a deal. At least Europe is going to be responsible for maintaining, you know, and keeping the strait open. But, you know, if America is going to be responsible for it, then America is going to make money off of it. I mean, that just sounds like that's not even Trump 101. That's like Trump breathing. Of course, we're going to find a way to make money off of this if we can. Joining us now, we have Jimmy Patronis. He is our congressman from Northwest Florida District 1. He was traveling yesterday, so we're making it up today. Jimmy, welcome back to the show, sir.
Thanks, and you hit the nail on the head. Look, this is like no other diplomat the world has ever dealt with. He's a business person, and he looks at his investment into a region, a product, a business has to have a return on that investment. And this is no different if we're going to make the world a safer place, because Iran is no longer have nukes, and then Iran wants to be a knucklehead and fight back against us in whatever ridiculous ways with the Strait of Hormuz, then all right, that's fine. Then we're going to be sit there as a gatekeeper with a military that will be cash flowing based off the fees that are collected. By hook or crook, we're going to make sure that Iran is no longer a threat to the rest of the world.
You know, one of the things, you know, I have a lot of criticism for the president, but the more this war goes on and the more some of the strategy becomes clear and his view of the world becomes clear and what he is concerned about in Iran, you know, the writer he becomes, in my opinion. And the fact that he's so frustrated with NATO, he said it yesterday, he's frustrated with NATO, he's frustrated with Great Britain, he's frustrated with Japan, South Korea, Australia. Who he's not frustrated with is the people who are in the region who immediately grasp it. I feel like we are, I don't know, we're on the verge of a completely different alignment of global powers. And it's, I don't know that he's wrong for the way he's reacting to some of this stuff. Like, how do you guys not get what's at stake here?
Well, and I think it's universally felt that people hate freeloaders. And so here we have been, you know, investing money into Europe. And look, there has been other types of benefits. Look, do we have access to those markets and all those things and good, you know, open dialogues? Absolutely. But it kind of gets to the point where we're putting so much money up and they're not putting, you know, a thimbleful of equivalent, then this is where the president comes in. All right, NATO, you've got to start stepping up. And now they're meeting their levels with the goal of getting to 5% of their GDP, except for Spain. But, you know, we've got to have some of these guys start to step up. We cannot, you know, be the world's peacekeeper at all times. And this is why, you know, the whole envision they had with the Board of Peace was, you know, you bring these nation states together. They care about prosperity. They care about safety and security. They're all working together. But the common enemy to that whole group is a definitely unpredictable Iran with their doctrine and their regime, not the friends of the Western world.
You know, because President Trump is very good at seeing opportunity where everybody else sees nothing. You know, I think of like the ice rink and the post office and all those kind of things. I honestly think, you know, when people laugh at the, you know, reimagine Gaza, you know, kind of a concept. But I think if you look at the Middle East, you know, if you look at Jerusalem, if you look at Jordan, if you look at some of the areas that have tremendous Dubai, you look at some of the areas that have tremendous prosperity. I mean, I think the president looks at the Middle East and thinks, why can't that be what it has been historically? Why can't we have these historic world great powers with all of the wealth and the marvels of the natural world? Why can't that be that way? Oh, it's because these lunatics are in the way. Okay, well, let's get rid of these lunatics.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I've always said it probably really didn't hit home with me until I became CFO of the state, and you start studying finances of the state and you look at where the state prospers. People are not going to make an investment. They're not going to build new industry. They're not going to have families relocate unless it is safe.
Right.
I don't, you know, so this is why I've been such a, I just became obsessed with first responders and our firefighters and law enforcement, because, man, if you support them, then people invest. And if people invest, the whole community starts to prosper. There's better jobs, better environment, safer places. Your kids are outside playing because there's no threats of getting harmed. Except on the internet.
We'll get to that.
You know,
for sure.
That's our next segue. So
we'll get. I did want to give you one last second though on this on Iran. Obviously, Northwest Florida has a tremendous military presence. I mean, how many bases are in your district or close to your district? And you know, all kinds of things that are going on in Iran, we are touching either directly or indirectly through training or through deployment or whatever. And I wanted to give you a chance to talk about. Obviously, the big news of the weekend and yesterday was this dramatic two-part rescue of the downed aviator from the F-15E, the pilot and the Wizzo. Your thoughts, comments, whatever you want to say.
Yeah, look, there's no way on God's green earth that rescue could have been as successful as it was if it wasn't for the incredible men and women that trained right in Northwest Florida. All of their skills, all of their efforts, all went in working around the clock, just programming instinctively in order to do exactly what they were trained to do right in Northwest Florida. And just, man, I tell you, if you're not proud of the type of folks we get to live with in our neighborhoods, then you just basically moved in yesterday, because we have got some real American heroes that call Northwest Florida home.
I tell you, every once in a while, it's tempting to have the thought, I know we were great in World War One. You know, I know we were great in World War Two. I know we have been great historically, you know, in our military and our capability and our innovation and our technology. And then, you know, but you look at what happens with Russia and Ukraine. We thought Russia was great. Turns out Russia's pretty pathetic and, you know, can't even accomplish basic military operations like refueling their tanks. And so, you know, do we, you know, is that next generation falling apart? Are they really fantastic? Are we really capable of doing? And then you see something like this in Venezuela and the first operation last year, and you think, you know what, we do pretty well. America does pretty well. We're talking to Jimmy Petronis, our congressman for District 1, Northwest Florida. Hang on for a second, Jimmy. We got traffic on the fives with John Pickens.
That's right. If you're on I-10 westbound between Pine Forest and Highway 20, between Pine Forest and 9 Mile Road, expect about a 9-minute delay through that construction zone. Highway 90 is back to flowing again smoothly. 98 westbound coming into Gulf Breeze, experiencing about a 12-minute delay. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. Back to Jimmy Petronis. I'm sorry, I said one last thing, but still one more last thing before we get to talking about social media stuff. You know, the president has just put up this Truth Social post where he says the whole civilization is going to die tonight, never to be brought back again. I don't want it to happen, but it probably will, and so forth. And I know, you know, some folks are freaking out. Like, he can't do that. He can't destroy a whole population. He's going to attack civilian targets and all this. To me, I think of President Trump as somebody who he knows how to deal with the sycophants and the egotists and the sociopaths and the total tyrants in the business world. And, you know, he's kind of in his domain when he's dealing with crazy people. Like, he knows how to deal with them. And I don't think we're going to destroy the whole civilization. I just think Trump knows how to speak a language that maybe the Iranians will finally listen to.
Well, and don't rule out. So Pakistan has been very engaged on trying to de-escalate the situation. Because I tell you, Pakistan knows this president will go in there and bomb them to the Stone Ages. And the last thing Pakistan wants is, you know, millions of Iranian refugees. So, I mean, so Pakistan is motivated to try to, you know, make this, you know, go away and open up the strait and try to get back to normal. But, you know, I think the president's been pretty known. You can't be trusted with weapons, and we're just going to make sure that you don't have those. And they're mad. They're upset. And they're definitely not a culture that you're going to bump into at the 7-Eleven or, you know, at the Tom Thumb. But it's you know, it is what it is. We got to use strength in order to bring this in for a landing.
You know, turning to social media, there was a story that I didn't see get a lot of attention, but I thought it was fascinating, that YouTube is now allowing parents to block all of the shorts for kids. Now, I know a lot of people may not know what that means, but think like your reels on Instagram or on Facebook or your TikTok videos. You know, YouTube has long form and then they have the short form, the little ones. And they're basically saying those ones are uniquely toxic for kids and we're going to allow parents to block that. That's good, but it's still not as good as it could be, right, Jimmy?
Yeah. So we were talking pre-show. I said, you know what, YouTube, thank you for doing this. This is great. It's a good step forward. But let's flip the script. You know what? Turn them off and allow mom and dad to turn them on. Mm-hmm. Turn them off. Allow mom and dad to use them as a reward for their kids. So, I mean, I know that those shorts are incredible, fantastic part of your business revenues. But with our kids, man, you got to be hands off. And, you know, having it on unless mom and dad turns it off, man, you know, I don't know about all mom and dads out there, but trying to navigate some of the safety settings on the phones or on the software apps, it's a challenge. And they don't do it that way by accident. You know, they like to be able to keep the eyeballs glued to the devices.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And, you know, for people who may not realize the difference, the real brain rot on YouTube is the shorts. I mean, granted, a lot of the long-form videos are brain rot too, but and not just the content, as we've said so many times, but the mechanism itself, the constant scrolling, what that does to the brain, addicted levels, notifications, keeping up, all of the stuff is much more prevalent on YouTube with the shorts than it is with the regular videos. And that's why having it default off instead of default on would be a good thing. UWF? Division One, who knew? Well, a few people.
Yeah, I'm excited. You know, Manny was so fired up about wanting to do this. And you know, it doesn't happen overnight. And it's going to have huge dividends for Northwest Florida. You know, one thing I didn't realize until, you know, you start to get into a state government, you start visiting these universities, man, a D1 athletics program takes your university to the next level. So whether it's going to be the attraction it's going to have for the type of talented students that are going to call, you know, University of West Florida their alma mater, you know, kudos to him and the trustees for being so supportive about making this effort. You know, it's going to be great things for Northwest Florida.
Anything else you're working on, Jimmy? Anything you want to get us caught up on that I missed to ask you about?
You know, I listened to the president's press conference yesterday. And, you know, and then there's all the conspiracy theories or why did Pete Hegseth cancel his press conference this morning? I tell people, I said, you know, they said everything yesterday.
Yeah, that's what I thought, too.
And now, yeah, so they said everything. I mean, they really – and then the president gave open mic questions for a significant part of the press conference. So, I mean, I don't know how you're going to belabor it any more than already it has. All the points have been made. They really couldn't share everything that the public wanted to know because, I mean, it's like General Kane said – you know, we hope we don't have to do this again, but we might. And there's no sense showing, you know, all of our execution plan strategies because we may have to do this again. So, I mean, I just still, I'm so amazed of the execution of those operations and how they worked through the night. And it's so, you know, incredible that we got everybody home safe and alive.
Absolutely. And I totally agree with you. I thought when the press conference was over, I'm like, why are they going to have another one tomorrow? We're good. I've been very critical of the Pentagon's treatment of the press and the way they've been handling the press and some of their decisions. But in this particular case, as a member of the press, I learned everything I needed to know. I don't need to know more, especially because I know that every little nugget of additional information carries the risk that our adversaries now in Iran or in the future in China, if God forbid we have to actually do that, I don't want them to know anything about what we do because that puts us in a more of an advantageous situation. So protect that operational security. And, you know,
that's
means, you know, you did what you need to do for the press conference. I'm good. Jimmy Petronas, he is our congressman for Northwest Florida District 1. As always, Jimmy, thank you so much for the time. Thanks for what you're doing, and we'll talk to you again next week.
See you next week. Take care.
You bet. 823 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Hi, I'm Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons, inviting you to Cops, Cars, and Crawfish. It'll be April the 11th at Five Flags Speedway. This event will have a car show beginning at 7:30 until 9:30. At 10 o'clock, the gates will open. At 11 o'clock, we'll serve crawfish plates from Cubs Crawfish. We'll have hamburgers and hot dog plates. We'll have balloon animals, games, face painting, and more for the kids. All proceeds for this event will benefit the Escambia County Sheriff Foundation and their mission to support the heroes of the Escambia County Sheriff's Office. Cops, Cars, and Crawfish, April the 11th.
When it comes to precious metals, there's only one place to consider, and that's Emerald. Something important happens.
You don't have time to wait.
Breaking news lives here.
Here.
On News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
There's a gap in the freeway.
What? How big is a gap?
50 feet. A couple of miles ahead.
I can see clearly now, the rain is gone.
I just learned something that's made my whole picture of the world change a little bit. I'll tell you in just a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
I didn't do it.
No, not you.
Oh, okay, good.
You're just all distracted by the Johnny Nash. Go on.
All right, no accidents to report to you right now, but if you're on 98 westbound headed toward Gulf Breeze, expect about a 10-minute delay in that area. But other than that, we are good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
So I always judge people for their mispronunciations, and I always feel like when people don't know how to say certain things, it means that they have not been around the environment. You know, I news people in particular, when they don't know basic words or they mispronounce a really basic word, I think, son, what's wrong with you? It just means you, you know, you read, you don't listen. You know, that's a challenge, right? Well, I got given one of those by a dear friend who would definitely know the difference. He says, it's not Dire Maker, the Led Zeppelin song. He says, it's Jermaker. Because it's kind of a play on words. There's some kind of a joke involved in this, but it's Jamaica, which is the reggae music style that I thought, 55, you still learn things every day. You get corrected every day. I'll take it. I love getting corrected because it means I'm smarter today than I was yesterday. Absolutely.
Exactly.
Hey, if you wake up in the morning refreshed and ready to go and excited for the day, cool. I mean, great. That's what a bed's supposed to do. If you wake up in the morning and, you know, feel like you need to sleep to recover from your sleep, that's not what a bed is supposed to do. A bed is not supposed to make it worse, make you hurt. You know, it's supposed to support and nurture your body. It's supposed to be rest and recreation and health. So chances are you could get a better mattress that would actually help you wake up refreshed and eager to go. Go to the sleep center. I know you don't want to. You don't want to because it's going to cost you money. It's true. A good bed will cost you money. Okay. Also, you don't want to go because, you know, mattress stores. I understand. Well, they're not like that. First of all, you know, they don't have any commission for the salespeople, so there's no pressure. Okay. The only pressure there is you get on the, you know, keeping your body in the right place. That's the pressure you get, which is like the kind you want. You want help? They'll help you. They'll educate you. You don't want help. You just want to, you know, look and lay and figure out what you want. They'll do that too. But the point is you're supposed to have a good night's sleep and you put it off because, you know, you've had mattress store experiences and you've been hurt by them just like you've been hurt by a mattress. Well, if you've been hurt by a mattress or by a mattress store, go to the Sleep Center. Best selection, best service, best price. Been here for 30 years. You know if you're local. If you're not, you know, local, like I'm not local. I've only been here 13 years. You know, I had to learn. The Sleep Center on the north side of Creighton, just east of Davis. Find out that not every mattress store is the same. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines this morning. David?
Good morning, gentlemen. Georgia voters heading to the polls today to pick a replacement for the congressional seat vacated by Republican Marjorie Taylor Greene. The race in the state's 14th congressional district is a runoff between Democrat Sean Harris, a retired Army officer, and Republican Clay Fuller. Boy, this job would be easy if I could talk, wouldn't it?
Who's
a former
fine.
District attorney. You remember Steve McMichael, NFL Hall of Famer? Some new information on him.
John says yes, I don't, but okay, go on.
Well, he was a Super Bowl champion with the Chicago Bears back in 1985.
I should know. I lived there. Go on.
But he has now been posthumously diagnosed with CTE. He died last year after a battle with ALS. His wife donated his brain to research to help scientists study a possible link between ALS and CTE. And so that information coming out today. University of Michigan basketball fans celebrating the Wolverines' big national championship win last night, apparently by lighting fireworks in Ann Arbor, climbing trees and light poles, and tearing down road signs. Michigan beat UConn 69-63 for their second ever national title.
There's not a lot to do in Michigan except to, you
except
know, climb dunes,
yeah.
Hunt snipes, drink Verners, and set stuff on fire when your team wins a national championship. I mean, that's pretty much Michigan life 101 right there. So, all right.
It sounds legit. I'll take your word for it.
I mean, what's it been? It's 47 years. I do that math right. 47 years? 37 years. 1989,
yeah.
Yeah. All right. David, thanks so much for the update. 829 on News Radio 923. The Wolverines have had two national championships, and my Illini have had zero. So anyway, we'll just move on. We'll talk about other things. The game was okay. Actually, the game was fun. Even though it was mostly Michigan was up by a lot the whole game, it still was a frantic, hard-fought game. Like, really physical game. A lot of scrapping and scrambling. They let them play, which is a good thing. And it really should have been even more of a blowout than it was, except that Michigan was like 1 for 14 from three-point range. It was crazy. It's, I think, if I'm being honest, I think UConn paid good money for the final 4 3-point shot hex, and they got their money's worth because the Illini couldn't shoot three-pointers against them and Michigan couldn't shoot three-pointers against them. If they'd have made even a couple of more of them last night, they would have been ahead by 10 to 20 the whole game. But it wasn't that way. Congratulations. Go Blue.
Fox News. I'm Therese Crowley. President Trump posting a whole civilization will die tonight, never to be brought back. I don't want that to happen, but it probably will. Well, the president's 8 p.m. deadline for Iran to deal, or its bridges and power plants will be destroyed.
It'll happen over a period of 4 hours if we wanted to. We don't want that to happen.
Fox has told the U.S. bombed dozens of military targets on Iran's Karg Island oil terminal, bunkers, radar, and ammo, but not landing docks. Rescued airman Dude 44 Bravo expected to be transferred to the U.S. Landstuhl Hospital after his audacious Easter rescue. And NASA's Artemis II crew emerges from the dark side of the moon to return to Earth, the first humans to set eyes on the moon's far side, now on the return to Earth mission control.
Thank you. Godspeed.
By the way, the crew says the dark side of the moon looks brown with greenish hues. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 8:31 at News Radio 92.3. 55 right now. We've got sunshine here across the area. Our full forecast with Brooke Richardson is on the way in just a few minutes. A new class of Escambia County Fire Cadets wrapping up training this week with several days of live drills involving real-life scenarios, heat, and smoke. Now, this is only the second class to be trained at the county's in-house training program with their own lieutenants, who provided 535 hours of instruction, which is well over the state's 492-hour instruction requirement. Training officials say that in-house model is creating stronger mentorship bonds between instructors and cadets. The department has grown from 77 to 215 personnel over the past 15 years and is building two new fire stations at Paradise Beach and Kingsfield Road, those being made possible with some funding that was secured through local representatives. The new cadets also beginning as probationary firefighters this weekend, which brings the department to near full staffing. The former director of the nursing program at Northwest Florida State College in Niceville pushing back after being forced to resign following the discovery of what investigators called live medications, including fentanyl, morphine, that they say were in unlocked campus storage areas. Dr. Tanya Beauregard talked to Channel 3, said the vials found were not actually drugs, but just saline solutions, and they were being used to teach nursing students how to properly draw and administer medications. She said hospitals routinely donate empty vials to the program, which are then filled with saline for training purposes. The school did have all those substances destroyed by a medical waste company without chemical testing. Beauregard said she was given a choice between termination and resignation, and that was before, she says, the investigation was even complete. Northwest Florida State College says that they've implemented a zero-tolerance policy and enhanced oversight and training for their faculty and staff. Rapper Offset was shot at the Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Hollywood on Sunday night. The Seminole Police Department confirming that shooting and says the victim is expected to survive. Two people were detained. Offset's representatives do say he is in stable condition. A new law is meant to protect Florida from Sharia law. Governor Ron DeSantis in Tampa yesterday signing HB 1471 at the University of South Florida, and that bill bans Florida courts from applying or enforcing foreign or religious law if it would violate constitutional rights. The governor said, "We have to defend our institutions from terrorist organizations that seek to infiltrate and subvert our educational system." Florida Senator Rick Scott condemning a visit that two Democratic members of Congress made to Cuba over the weekend. Scott said the only reason lawmakers could meet with what he's calling dictators and thugs is because of the freedom the Cuban regime denies its own people. He's asking those lawmakers to speak out against the wrongful imprisonment of Cuban political prisoners. It's 8:35 at News Radio 92.3. John Pickens has our traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents to report to you. But if you're on 98 westbound headed toward Gulf Breeze, through that construction zone, experiencing about a 10-minute delay. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. Now, Brooke Richardson with our forecast.
We're going to be looking at some very beautiful weather today with some cooler temperatures in the morning, warming up near 77 degrees for your afternoon highs with some sunny skies. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 57. For Wednesday, small 20% chance of a stray sprinkle, otherwise partly sunny skies, high near 73. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 58. Looking at that nice weather as we head into Thursday with a small 20% chance of rain continuing. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you, Brooke. 55 degrees. We've got sunshine. Our next news in 30 minutes and breaking news anytime it happens. And your money now this hour. Taking a look at our opening numbers. The Dow down almost 0.75%, 296.5 points this morning, 46,373.5. The S&P down just under 0.5%, 6,584.5. And the NASDAQ down 0.5%, 102 points, 21,894.25. 10-year bond rate up slightly, 4.35% this morning. Gold prices up 270 at 46.87.40. Silver is down 49 cents at 72.36. Looking at that oil price this morning, up another $2.83, 2.5% at $115.24. Bitcoin down about $1,300 at $68,413. And gas prices continuing their rise, reaching a national average of $4.14 a gallon today, up 3 cents from yesterday. According to AAA, 1 month ago, that nationwide average for gas was $3.41. Oregon joining the list of states where a gallon of regular unleaded is going for $5 or more today. Pershing Square intends to purchase Universal Music Group. CEO Bill Ackman says they're offering cash and stock worth $64 billion. He said the merger would strengthen the weak stock price and will list on the New York Stock Exchange. That deal could close as soon as the end of the year. The CEO of J.P. Morgan Chase warning that the ongoing conflict with Iran could tip the U.S. economy into a recession. Jamie Dimon issuing that warning on his annual letter to shareholders Monday. He wrote, quote, "Now, because of the war in Iran, we additionally face the potential for significant ongoing oil and commodity price shocks." According to Dimon, it could lead to stickier inflation and ultimately higher interest rates than markets currently expect. It's 8:38. Our next news at 9, breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne. News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
This spring, you can share more than a meal. You can share hope. For as little as $2.75, you can provide a nourishing meal to a hungry neighbor, served with love and compassion, reflecting the love of Christ. A single meal opens the door to healing, recovery, employment, and housing, helping restore lives and renew hope throughout the year. Answer the call this season. Give hope today at waterfrontmission.org.
In a world of payroll and HR services, things can get complicated. There are so many moving parts in business. At Avalon HR, we understand, and we have your back. Join us on the Pensacola Expert Panel as we guide you through the complicated world of payroll and HR services. Running a business is busy work. Allow Avalon HR to work with you. Join us tomorrow on the Pensacola Expert Panel at 10.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Here are the News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 contest rules. You can win one prize per household per contest in any 30-day period, unless specified by individual contest rules. All prizes on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 are non-transferable, non-redeemable for cash, or exchangeable for any other prize. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 prizes must be redeemed within a 30-day period of winning. For a complete list of rules, visit newsradio923.com.
The day began with live special coverage of the UWF press conference.
Today marks an important milestone for the University of West Florida and Argonaut Athletics.
Then, President Trump's speech.
My fellow Americans, good evening.
Followed by the launch of Artemis II.
And liftoff. The crew of Artemis II now bound for the moon. Humanity's next great voyage begins.
News can happen anytime, and we're there to cover it. News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Everybody was kung fu fighting.
I admire your deductive processes.
Ooh, yeah. I'm gonna have to go ahead and sort of disagree with you there.
Oh, idiot!
Food fight!
Gentlemen, you can't fight in here. This is the war room.
This conversation can serve no purpose anymore. Goodbye.
All right, this is a two-parter. I'm curious to see where this goes. I have no idea. 437-1620, our frivolous question of the day is, number one, what's your oldest piece of clothing that you still wear? How old? 437-1620, what's your oldest piece of clothing that you still wear, and how old is it? And number two, this is for the spouse in your life, what's too old? What's too old for a piece of clothing? I'll tell you the origin of this question when we come to my answer here in just a moment. 437-1620. As you may have surmised already, this came from my wife. So, John Pickens, what is your oldest piece of clothing? Can you think of one that's your oldest that you'd still wear?
I'd say 3 years. 3 years.
What?
Yeah. Well, I mean, a bigger boy,
of clothing you own is 3 years old?
Well, no, not that I own, but you said that you wear.
That you wear. Yeah, okay,
right.
Sure.
I own is a whole different story.
Well, okay, so the ones you cannot wear, you still keep.
Yeah, because I'm going to lose weight.
I see.
Just so you know.
I'm not laughing at you. I'm laughing near you.
Yes, you are.
All right. Okay. So, okay. All right, so I'm trying to process all this.
Asked that you still wear. Well, some people,
gotcha.
You know, gain
okay.
and lose weight.
So how old with the clothes you don't wear that you still keep, how old are those?
That's over 30 years old.
Okay, all right, yeah. All right, there we go. And then how old is too old for clothes? And the answer would be there's no limit.
There is
right?
no.
Yeah, it's if you could still wear it.
Right, exactly.
Or if you want to keep it because you think you will wear it again in the future.
Oh, I will. I'm losing it. Trust me.
I love you. Same thing. Those pants fit. Not yet.
But they will.
I'm going to keep them until they do.
That's right, Talisha.
I'll say that's right, Danielle. Okay, so for me, this 437-1620, what's your oldest piece of clothing, especially clothing that I guess you could still wear. I don't know. Apparently, I've categorized myself out on that one with John. But yes, then sir. The other one is how old is too old? Okay, here's where this comes from. I used to play volleyball at the University of Illinois. We did not have a NCAA team, but we had like club ball, and it's all because of the rules about men's and women's sports. You know, there would be more men's sports, except they had this rule that you've got to have the equal number of both. So you have club sports like soccer at U of I was a club sport, and volleyball. Okay. In volleyball, we had these polo shirts, that we used to play in. I can't remember for sure, but, it's a navy blue polo with the University of Illinois volleyball logo on it. And, whatever. I still have that shirt. I was wearing that shirt in the last week because Illinois was playing in the NCAA tournament, and I was proud, and I've only got a half dozen.
Illinois volleyball shirt? What?
It's a volleyball shirt, but I'm wearing it because an Illinois shirt. Settle down.
Oh.
Even though we're playing basketball.
In basketball.
That's right. Shh. Anyway.
Okay. Just trying to figure it all out.
And my wife says, we had relatives over. She's like, you know how old that shirt is? Like telling them, like, I'm going to be embarrassed by it. I'm like, and it still fits. And I look good, and it's in fairly good condition. You know, it's
exactly.
not brand new, but, what's wrong? It's an old shirt. And she's like, you should get rid of old things. I'm like, I kept you for a long time. Anyway.
Oh, and you stayed inside last night? Oh,
you know, these are the jokes you make when you've been married almost 30 years. So, yeah, I once upon a time, I still had, I know when we were starting dating, I still had my, like, old Boy Scout troop shirt from, like, high school.
Well, you ain't gonna fit that.
That does, no, I do, cannot fit that. That went away a long time ago. At least I don't think I have that anymore. So, but yeah, I still got clothes from college.
Dude, I still have my radio station shirt from college.
Radio station shirts from early jobs. Yes.
Oh yeah.
There is no time limit on clothing. If it still fits and it's useful, you keep it.
Exactly. Or you're going to fit in it.
Well, or because you have you need or you goals. Have ambitions. There's you know
you
there's
need, you have
there's
goals.
Optimism clothing. And sometimes your optimism clothing is in good shape because you bought it and then you got bigger and now you only wore it a few times.
Right, exactly.
All right, John Pickens has traffic on the fives. 437-1620. What's your oldest piece of clothing? How old? And is there such a thing as too old? John Pickens, traffic on the fives.
That's right. If you're on 98 westbound headed toward Gulf Breeze, yes, I know there's school zones there, but there's also construction being done. Traffic is backed up. It's getting closer and closer to the Garcon Point Bridge. So, again, it's about a 15-minute delay in that area. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
All right. The question of the day is, what is the oldest piece of clothing you have? What is it? How old is it? And then is there such a thing as being too old? While you're doing the math on answering all of these questions, I remind you that if you struggle with math or if your kids struggle with math, particularly, take them to Mathnasium. Dear friends own Mathnasium. It is a fantastic tutoring, mentoring framework. The basic idea is they realize that math is a set of skills, a knapsack full of tools. And, you know, if you're in the fourth grade and you don't get a tool, and then you're going to have to keep using that tool in the fifth grade, sixth grade, seventh grade. And so they can help you if a kid has missed that tool or doesn't have that tool appropriately, they can figure out which one and then teach them how to have it. And then build back up to where they need to be. And so you go in, and the first thing you do is you take a completely complimentary, totally free assessment. Okay? Whatever your child is struggling with, they'll figure it out. And then they'll craft a plan to help them get either up to grade level or even beyond grade level. Sometimes people go because they do well at math and they want to do better, like, you know, coaching more so than remedial. But the point is they're fantastic. My son taught there for a year. We are big believers in Mathnasium. Love what they do and really believe in the importance of math and math skills and education for kids. 94% of parents say their kids have better math skills and understanding. And 90% of parents say they see an improvement in the actual school grades. Go stop by. Mathnasium is located next to Marshall's in the Fresh Market Shopping Center at 9th and Airport. All right, question of the day. What's the oldest piece of clothing that you have, especially that you can still wear? How old is too old? What is it? All of these things. 437-1620. All right, somebody says, I still wear a denim jacket I bought in 2007 from American Eagle. All right, that's 19 years. That's good. I had a high school denim jacket that we did all kinds of interesting things with, and I think I finally sold that several years ago because I was never going to fit back in.
Somebody bought it?
Yeah, I sold it on eBay. It was like we had customized it in a lot of I don't want to get into the details, okay. But it was cool for 1989. Anyway, so, and some of that stuff becomes retro again, right? Somebody says, I still have shirts that I wear from the 90s. Yes, they still fit. I have a T-shirt. What's that?
Lucky man.
There you go. I have a T-shirt, 15 years and counting. There you go. Can't name the one, but I have a few pairs of jeans, shirts, and shorts that are at minimum 15 years old, and I still wear some of them. There you go. See, I know some of my, I could tell you which shirts or whatever, but, you know, I have some stuff that's from, like, when I was teaching back in, God, like, the mid-90s, and I can still wear most of that stuff. Not all of it. But, you know, the stuff I can't wear, I get rid of. Because I don't keep a lot of optimism clothing. I have put on a couple of pounds. Let's see. Somebody says a 30-year-old Ice Pilots T-shirt.
Well, that's cool.
Wow. That is, you know, super vintage now. Somebody says, I have neckties older than all of you. Nice.
Is that combined ages?
Oh, I love it. I love it. Socks in 5 years. I have a lot of socks, so it takes a while to cycle through them. I actually still wear the dress ones that I wore to my uncle's wedding when I was 5 in 1965. Wow, that's awesome. 61-year-old. Did I do that math right? Add for Mathnasium. 61-year-old socks. Hey, you know, there's it still works. Let's see. Somebody says, I have gloves and jacket from 1999. My whole wardrobe is vintage, and most of it's over 20 years old. You know, vintage and cheap start to be the same thing after a time. Currently wearing a pair of Umbro soccer shorts from the 80s.
Umbro. Oh, wow. My gosh.
Oh, man.
That brings back high school.
We all had those for sure. And the problem with those is they wear out. I mean, they fray and they get bad. And, you know, I remember my wife for a long time had a pair of green Umbros that she still wore, which I liked a lot. Anyway, let's see.
I bet you did.
Hey.
How you doing?
I didn't marry my wife because I didn't like the way she looked. I have wondered if I get judged for wearing an old shirt with the date printed on it. I wear a T-shirt from 2007. Printed on it for all to see, but I have another one that I wear to sleep with 1992 on it. Oh, man. Sweet. If I had any of my old, like, if they had held up, you know, like concert tees from back in the day. And I don't mean the concert tees that, like, look like they're old, but Walmart and Target sold them last year. That does not count. Okay, your Peter Frampton shirt that you bought last year does not count. AC/DC, whatever, you know, it's strategically worn looking. Somebody says, I also wore a 1982 Cardinals World Series champion T-shirt and an 85 Cardinals World Series champion T-shirt. And I have my junior high reversible tank top for PE class. It does not fit.
I was like, okay.
There is a, if you've gotten rid of shirts that you have kept for, particularly shirts that you've kept for years and years through moves across states, and then at a certain point you realize, I'm never going to be able to wear that one. And then there's a sadness getting rid of that. That's a painful thing to get
rid of.
But
you need to be optimistic. I will. Well, except for middle school, but.
There are ones that are too old even for an adult body to get back into. There's, you know, like the ones from high school. This is never happening. It's never happening, John. College maybe, high school for sure not. Michael says, no, the question of the day was, what's the oldest thing you wear? What is it? How old? And then is there such a thing as too old? My general belief about this is most of the men are like, I got a 40-year-old thing. It's fine. And most of the women are like, that's why I can't stand it.
And we have to move this anywhere we go.
Right. And then we'll throw it away without asking you, you know, forgiveness is easier than permission, you know? Anyway, let's see. No, there's nothing considered too old. If it fits, you can still wear it. Somebody says, now I don't feel so bad about these clothes. I can't let go. I have a blazer my aunt gave me like 40 years ago. Oh, I think I know my oldest thing. I just realized it's I have a tie. If you ever see me wear it, I don't mind you saying it. I have a tie that my sister got me in high school that I love. That is for all this time, it's my favorite tie.
Is it already tied for you where you just put it around your neck?
John. No, but it's kind of orange and green. It's got a tree on it. It's a beautiful tie. And I still wear it once in a while. If you ever see me wearing a tie, which is rare enough, and I'm wearing that, you can mention it to me because my sister gave it to me, and I love that tie. So that's older than my volleyball shirt. Have you ever done one of those segments about whether all people that go to space are astronauts? Okay, that's a different question. I still wear my 2001 Springfest shirt. There you go. I have a suit that I wear to funerals since 1996. I still have my wedding dress from 88. Okay, a lot of women probably have their wedding dress, but they probably don't wear it.
But we have to lug it everywhere we go.
It's fine. It's fine. My wife is 65 and still has her jean jacket from high school and can fit in it. Wow. Nice. My dad's wedding suit from 86. I wore it in 2019 and I wore it again last week. I have a jeans vest from high school. 1977. No longer fits. I still wear my, fits? What does that mean? What? Fits from early 90s? I'm not sure what that, I rarely wear still fits from the early 90s. I don't think I got the actual thing it was. Somebody says, I stand corrected. My high school FFA jacket, 1979 vintage. Oh, nice. But it does not fit. And somebody else says, 60-year-old mittens from childhood. This is so fun. I love some of the answers I'm getting here. A 71 peacoat from the Navy I still wear. Currently wearing a pair of black government-issue boots from 96 from Paris Island. My 45-year-old Levi's jacket still fits. My wife. I love it. My 81 police Ghost and Machine tour tee. Not fit. Not fit. Not even at all. What about parachute pants? Do you still have them? No, I was never rich enough to have parachute pants. I always envied the kids who could actually buy parachute pants. I'm getting it. Somebody sent me a screenshot of their Umbros.
That's awesome.
I have my baby blanket my mom made me from the 1980s. I still use it. Oh, I do have my like baby blankets from 1,000 years ago, 55 years
ago.
Do
you use them?
No. They're in a box somewhere in my closet. My mom brought me a wedding dress in 98 before she passed away, and I wore it for my wedding last year. There you go. What a fun topic. Oh, that's great. All right, 8:54 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. Add more road to your trip with the new 2026 Subaru Crosstrek or Forester Hybrid. Our new hybrids will keep you going no matter where the road goes. With up to 597 miles per tank, the Crosstrek Hybrid easily takes you to more places. And the Forester Hybrid sports a driving range of up to 581 miles per tank. Mileage like that lets you journey farther. And combined with Subaru's legendary capability of standard symmetrical all-wheel drive, you'll be able to handle any unexpected conditions and terrain with ease. Paved roads, gravel roads, just about any road, they're all fair game in the new 2026 Subaru Hybrid. Better fuel economy, legendary reliability, you'll find both in the Subaru Crosstrek Hybrid and Subaru Forester Hybrid. Love goes the extra mile at Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola. For details, call 877-554-9791.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
At FPL, our teams are working every day, inspecting, upgrading, and strengthening the grid, installing smart sensors that spot problems before they become outages, keeping your lights on, your devices charged, your world running. You may not see us, but our work never stops. Behind every switch that powers on, every moment that just works. Because reliability isn't an option, it's a commitment. FPL, working for you every single day. Learn more at fpl.com/value.
The Pensacola housing real estate market has been crazy for the past few years.
How do you know when to buy or sell?
You'll need an expert to help you. Tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel this Thursday at 9 a.m. right after Pensacola Morning News to hear real estate expert Christina Leavenworth with Levin Rieke Realty discuss current real estate conditions. That's Thursday at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
The five-day outlook is calling for intense flooding, followed by the end of the world!
You don't need panic. You need information. News Radio 92.3.
He made me do it! He told me to do it!
If life is water, I was dry as too.
It's the kids who did the prank in Jaws.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. Because I'm like going,
what is that from? It's what? Too fast.
Yeah.
All right. John Pickens has Traffic on the Fives. Oh, that's a good song. Speaking of old things, Newsboys back in the day. All right. 8:56 on News Radio 92.3. John Pickens has Traffic on the Fives. John?
That's right. No accidents to report to you. But again, 98 westbound headed toward Gulf Breeze experiencing a 7-minute delay. I'm John Pickens with your Traffic on the Fives.
Oh, I have just one last entry in the oldest clothing. A good friend texted and said, I have a Gap skirt from 1993. It finally fits.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, that's fantastic. Awesome. I know none of my skirts from the 90s fit.
Well, I hope not.
Let's just move on. oh, okay. I am going to do something that is a terrible idea. You know how math on the radio is not a good idea?
Yeah,
I proved it all during COVID, that, but yeah. And elsewhere. I just can't stop myself sometimes. I'm going to do geometry on the radio.
Oh, no. We've only got like 3 minutes.
And it's going to be astronomical geometry.
Oh,
I can't believe
no.
I'm going to do this. All right, let's start with the question that at least some of you have asked, presumably. If they're looking at the dark side of the moon, why is there any light? And why is it brown or green instead of being
the gray?
You know, gray, white,
ish,
whatever color you want to describe the moon as. And the answer is, okay, first of all, a couple of things to keep in mind. Number one, it's only the dark side of the moon. That's like the phrase, but that's only because, and it's not quite the full half because it moves a little bit. There's some difference here based on elliptical orbit. But anyway, it's only the dark side in the sense that from the Earth, we don't see it. But when the moon is relatively between the Earth and the sun, the backside, if you want to call it that, of the moon is facing the sun. It's getting full light. Just like the Earth gets. And I know some people are like, duh. And other people are like, whoa.
Well, yeah, because you got to remember the moon doesn't rotate.
Right. The moon doesn't rotate. It you know, it revolves
around us.
Right.
Yeah.
And so the dark side is fully lit. In fact, the dark side, if you want to think about it, in the course of a month, as the moon goes around or in the course of a year, but the moon on the dark side or the backside gets as much light as the front side. The total amount of sunlight on the moon is the same front and back. And I know, again, some people are like, duh. And other people are like, whoa, okay.
Yeah, mind blown.
But, okay, there are times when it's the position of, like, in a full moon, okay? So the moon is basically on the other side of the Earth from the sun. So we see it the brightest. At those times, the backside, if you want to call it that, would be the least lit up because most of the light, okay? But that's only when it's really in that particular position because when it's moving in other ways, it's... I'm just telling you, it's not what you think it is, so... Also, that gets light off of the Earth. I think it's called Earthrise, off of the clouds.
Local news every hour and